I'm going to ask, since Isaac and Jacob did such a wonderful job with our... Well, hi there, Liza. Yeah, we've got a seat for you, too. Look at that. Okay, find a place there. Okay. And I'm going to have Isaac and Jacob do our scripture reading this morning. I didn't ask them in advance. So let's see. Let's get you a Bible here. Okay. And Isaac and Jacob, you can come back up to the microphone, okay? And let's see. Our scripture reading is from the book of Genesis. And there's two places. And the first place is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And Isaac, why don't you read that one, okay? 15 to 17. Start here. And at verse 15, and then you can finish right here, okay? You got that?
Okay. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of the tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
Very good. Okay. And Jake, your turn. And I'm going to have you read chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Okay. And you can stop right. Let's see. There's 5. There's verse 6. And then right there. Stop right there. Okay.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you could eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good food, and that it was a delight to their eye, to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
Very good. Okay, thank you. You can sit back down there with the rest of the children there. And I'm going to move the microphone back over here. But how many of you like science experiments? Do you like science? Do you do science experiments at home? Liza, do you do them? Mm-hmm. You do? Oh, my goodness. And Lilac, do you do science experiments too? Uh-huh. How about you, Benaya? Do you do science experiments? Sometimes we have science experiments at our house if we leave something in the refrigerator too long. And we find it after a few weeks later. We find a science experiment growing in the refrigerator. But anyway, we're going to do a science experiment this morning, but I've got to put my lab coat on. All right, and because I don't want to, scientists have to wear their lab coats, right? So I'm going to put my lab coat on. Bear with me just a second here. How's that? Is that a nice lab coat you like? All right, okay. Let's see if I can get this squared away in the back here. Anyway, how's that? But... let's start with some water in this bowl. What do you say? You think that's a good idea? All right. That's nice clean water, isn't it? I mean, we could drink that water if we wanted to. Although I'm not sure how clean the pot is that it came out of. But we could drink that water if we wanted to. Because water is good for you, isn't it? And, but, you know, we also have some... We've got some stones here. Stones. What do you think of that? And let's call these stones sin, okay? You what? You have some rocks at home? A rock tumbler. I see. Right. Okay. Well, we'll start with these stones, and we'll think of these stones as sin. Okay. And every time we do something wrong, now, sometimes, do you always obey your parents? Sometimes you do some bad things, maybe disrespectful. Well, okay, let's see. Liza, why don't you come up and put one of these stones in that bowl there? Let me see. Okay. Okay, you pick one and put it in the bowl there. There we go. Thank you. Okay. And how about if your mother tells you to pick up your toys and you don't want to? Will you come and put one of these stones in the bowl there too, patience? What do you say? And sometimes, Benaiah, do you ever get angry at your sister?
Yes.
You do. We'll put one of those stones in that bowl. And how about you, Micah? Do you ever, are you sometimes disobedient? And does your mother get mad at you for doing something wrong? Yeah. Yeah, well, you better put one of these stones in the bowl there, okay? All right. How about you, Lilac? Sometimes, I mean, we can do all kinds of things. You get angry at your brothers sometimes. Do you do that? You do. Well, you come put one of these stones in the bowl there. Huh? Okay. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do, right? Do we ever tell lies? We do. Okay. Well, let's see. Isaac, you can put one of these stones in the bowl there. Okay. And how about you, Jake? You better put one of these stones in the bowl too. Okay. And, well, you know, then maybe we're sorry for what we did and we repent. And so you can come take one of these stones out. Liza, you come take one of these stones out and put it on the towel here where the towel will soak up the water. You pick one and take it out and put it over here. And Micah, you come take one of these stones out too, okay? There you go. How about that? Okay. And Lilac, you come take one of these stones out. And Benaiah, you can come take one of those stones out too. And Patience, did you take one out? You come take one out too. You better take one of those stones out, okay? There you go. And Jake, you come take one out too. How's that? And Isaac, there's one more stone. You can take that out too, can't you? But you know, there's a bigger problem that we have, isn't it? And that is that, you know, sin is much more than just the things that we do, isn't it? Sin is really, it's in the heart and not just in our actions, isn't it? Let's see if I can open this box. And I got a problem here. Anyway, let's see. Okay. I mean, because we have a bigger problem. Look at that. We'll put some of that in there. And that's kind of hard to take out, isn't it? Yeah. Let me put the cover back on here. Otherwise, we'll have a big problem here on the table, won't we? And we have a real serious problem that's in the heart. And that serious problem is that sin is much deeper than just our actions, the things that we do when we get mad, because something causes us to get angry and something causes us to disobey. And so what happens, of course, is that is part of who we are. It's like a disease that we have that we got right from our birth, isn't it? And it would be really hard. Look at that. Oh my goodness. It would be really hard to take that out of there, wouldn't it? How would you take that out? Something else. Huh. How would you take it out, Patience? Would you be able to take that out of there? No,
Lies? Unless you dump it out in the sink.
Unless you dump it out in the sink. Well, I guess we could do that, couldn't we? But you see, the problem is that Adam and Eve, they did something wrong. What did they do wrong?
They ate
the fruit. And what made that wrong? Liza, what
made it?
They disobeyed God. Really? Yes, they did. God sent them out of the garden. But, you know, there was a problem right then and there, wasn't there? And it was like this was what was in their heart. And when they had children, it was this problem that they gave to their children. And so their children had that problem too. And their grandchildren, and on down throughout all of history, they all had that problem. It's called sin. And sin is like a disease, isn't it? And the only thing that can take it out is something else. We can't take it out because it's a part of who we are, isn't it? And so we need something that's much more important, don't we? And so let's see what happens here. Okay. Now what is it that we have?
Huh? It's changing the color to blue.
Oh, it's changing the color, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What is? I see that.
Yeah. Black and blue.
Yeah. But you know, there's a passage in the Bible where the Apostle Paul talks about this. And of course, that thing that takes it out is what?
Jesus.
Jesus is the one that takes it out, isn't it? And so we read, for example, in 2 Corinthians, for our sake, God made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We also read in the Bible that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And His blood is what makes us clean. And Jesus shed His blood on the cross for us, didn't He? And so it's Jesus' blood that takes away our sin and takes away the sin in our heart. And that's why we love Jesus, and that's why we come to church, to worship Him, isn't it? I'm going to put a little bit more of this in there, okay? Yes, okay. Well, look at that. How about that? Anyway, why don't we pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank You. Because we know that we have sin in our hearts. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin and to cover our sin so that we can be clean and not dirty. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go take your seats. And I want to turn to our adults this morning, and I'll take off my lab coat here. But as most of you know, of course, we've been looking into the book of Genesis and doing a series. I'll try not to get this all over my white shirt, and then I will be in big trouble when I... But the book of Genesis is a turning point. Chapter 3 is a real turning point in the whole book of Genesis, isn't it? Because here they were living in a perfect environment. And they were without sin. There was no problems in the world. But then they were tempted to disobey God. And we'll look at that that temptation, the nature of that temptation, in greater detail later. But here we have in Genesis chapter 3 a real turning point in the book of Genesis, and here they found that because of their disobedience, they were living in a broken and fallen world. It's a turning point in the whole Bible, because we realize that if it were not for the events that we have recorded in the book of Genesis, that the rest of the Bible would never need to be written. There wouldn't be any purpose for it. And so what happened, of course, is that from this point on, everything changed. And the whole purpose of the Bible, of course, is that one central message. That one central message is God's plan of salvation for lost and sinful men and women. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit in the garden, they learned the difference between good and evil. Up until that point in time, they had known only good. And there was no evil. But when they ate of the fruit, then of course there was evil in the world. The Bible, of course, calls this sin. And there are lasting ramifications. Those ramifications are that we are separated from God, that we are doomed to death, not to mention all of the heartaches and struggles of living in a fallen world. But as you have seen, it didn't just affect Adam and Eve, but it affected all the rest of their offspring down throughout history. This morning we drew our call to worship, of course, from the book of Romans, chapter 5. But in verse 12 we read, "Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." It was that one act that left a lasting birthmark on our nature, didn't it? And this is the point of this little science lesson for the children this morning. As the reformers, Martin Luther in particular, referred to it, we became non posse, non peccare, that is, not able or unable not to sin. And so sin is a constant presence with each and every one of us. It's not something that we can fix just by doing better. To stop doing the bad things and start doing the good things, like taking those rocks out of that bowl of water. As beneficial as those things might be, but the problem is, of course, is that we have inherited broken spiritual DNA. And so the Apostle Paul goes on to say here in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." The Apostle Paul, of course, quotes from the book of Psalms when he says, "There is no one righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But you see, it's against this backdrop that we have the gospel. And you heard, in essence, the message of the gospel by our two young men this morning, there in Psalm 103. And so we read those words there in Psalm 103, that he does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You see, Jesus came as our second Adam, didn't he? He died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, and he gives us his righteousness in return. Now, I have to confess that this little demonstration that I did for the kids this morning, that I plagiarized that from my son last Sunday when we talked with him via Zoom. He told us, because he is teaching the fourth grade class, and in his Bible lesson to the children, he did this demonstration for them to portray the message of the gospel. But this demonstration is in some respects a little bit like the Lord's Supper, isn't it? Although it's a much more rudimentary portrayal of it. But you see, it's a portrayal of sorts of the gospel, not just in verbal form, but in visible form. You see, it helps us to visualize the heart of the gospel. King David, of course, after his gross immorality, as we read in Psalm 51, cries out, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me. Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." But then we read, of course, in the prophecy of Isaiah, these words, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." So when we participate in the Lord's Supper, as we will do here in just a moment, this is a reminder of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he has done that very thing. Though we are soiled by sin inside and out, Jesus Christ has died to pay for our sin on the cross, so that we can sing with the hymn writer, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away." We sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the message of the gospel contained in your word. We thank you for the picture of the gospel that we have spread out before us on this table this morning. And so, Father, we pray that you would fill us with appreciation and gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, by covering our sin and washing it away. In Jesus' name, amen.